Our gospel is found in the 24th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 36 on page 806. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you remember the Chilean miners back in 2010? There were 33 men who, this story captured the hearts of the entire world. As these 33 men, miners, descended into the depths of the San Jose copper and gold mine, unaware that their lives would change forever. A few days later, a catastrophic collapse happened, and these men were trapped 2,300 feet below the Earth's surface. For 69 long days, the miners faced unimaginable conditions of darkness and fear, uncertainty surrounded them. As days turned into weeks, they were cut off from the outside world, and their survival became increasingly tenuous. Yet amid the despair, something incredible happened. They held on to hope, banding together in the depths of the earth, sharing their fears, encouraging one another, and relying on the strength of their community. As rescuers above worked tirelessly to reach them, the miners clung to the belief that they would be found. They learned to survive in the harshest conditions, rationing their food and finding ways to stay positive. Their hope became a beacon, a reminder that even in the darkest moments, they were not alone and that rescue was possible. The world watched in awe until the day finally came for their dramatic rescue. One by one, these miners were lifted to the surface, greeted with cheers and tears and embrace of their loved ones. And that story really is an inspiration and a great reminder of the power of hope, that hope can play in our lives. They were down literally 2,300 feet below the Earth's surface, but they were not out. They were not without hope. Just like the Chilean miners, you may find yourself today, as we had approached the Christmas season, that we need some more hope. We need to unbox Jesus as our Savior and then have living hope. This Advent season, we are unboxing Advent. And you know how you take all your decorations out of the attic or out of the garage or wherever you keep them, and they're all tucked away for the Christmas season, but you got to unbox them. You got to let them out of the box, and that's what we're doing this season. Do you notice this massive gift here? You wonder what's inside? Would you like me to open it? Okay. It says, to Shepherd of the Hills from Love, God. And I want to thank Debbie, especially for the finalizing the wrapping of this amazing present. Donna worked on it. Sonia worked on it. It was Matt's idea, so we're all blaming Matt for having this box here. But let's see what's inside. Yeah. It worked. Hope. Hope. This Advent season, the first gift of Advent is hope. And over the next 4 weeks, we'll be unboxing hope, peace, joy, and love of Jesus. And we want to open them and receive them in all their glory and then give them away to others. These gifts are so graciously given. They're not meant just for us to hold on to. They're meant for us to give away and use us to share with others. Along with this Advent series, like I said, we're going to have a class, which I forgot the trailer video, so maybe we could play that at the end, or now, well, now? Okay, let's watch the trailer for the Advent class that's coming up right after church.
Welcome to Red Letter Advent. Here I am in Frankenmuth, Michigan, America's Christmas town, at Bronner's, the world's largest Christmas store. For the next 25 days, as we get ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we're going to unbox four gifts that Jesus wants you to have today. Gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love. So welcome to Red Letter Advent. Let's do this.
All right. Thank you. And you know the Bronners are back there. That's their parents' store, legacy of Frankenmuth, Michigan. And so we're excited to, each week, Pastor Zach goes to the store and around that area to talk about the theme. So today's theme is hope. In many ways, Advent series has nothing new. Its origins in the 4th century. In fact, Christians and churches throughout the centuries have practiced simply lighting Advent candles during this season to prepare for not only the birth of Jesus, but his coming again. And that's really what this season is looking for. So these candles represent hope, peace, joy, and love. We wait, we prepare, we remind ourselves that we have hope, that we have peace, we have joy, and we have love because of Christ. And we've talked about these gifts, but I think it's still, if it's just me, but I think we still need a little more encouragement to hold on to these gifts. Truth be told, we need the gifts of, whoops, where did they go? Back. Hope. The foundation. We have a strong hope and foundation, but the world feels hopeless sometimes. Like we can't do anything about the evil we see. Rather than living out of peace, it feels like we're struggling with mental health on the inside, and we are even more divided on the outside. And rather than experiencing joy, more and more people, despite living in an incredible economy, experience sadness and depression. And rather than experiencing and receiving love, despite having more ways to connect than ever, through social media, etc., we are as lonely of a nation as we've ever been. So we thank God that we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus. He came into the world to a people starving for these things, hope, peace, joy, and love, and he delivered on all fronts. Advent is also a time when we look forward to Jesus coming again in glory. And so we wait in the month of December, and we're going to unbox these gifts one at a time. Except this time, like I said, we're not going to just be encouraged to open them and rip them open for ourselves, but encouraged to share those and challenged to give them away. Paul quotes Jesus, one of the red letter words in the Bible in Acts 20. It says, he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And I wonder if the reason we missed out on the best parts of these gifts is that we've hoarded them to ourselves, and they were meant to be given away. So welcome to this Red Letter Advent. Today we unbox hope. Those miners in Chile spent 69 days waiting to be rescued. Can you imagine how hard that would have been in the dark? I'm just freaking out thinking about how awful that would have been. Nearly 2 months. It's hard to wait. But waiting is what the season of Advent is all about. And these gifts are given to us as we wait. You think of how long they waited. How about the Israelites waiting for the Messiah? Isaiah the prophet famously prophesies the birth of Christ, who who had come to bring salvation to the world 700 years before he came on the scene. In Isaiah 7:14, he declared, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. The prophecy pointed to his birth, his miraculous birth, giving hope that God would not abandon his people and that he would personally do everything he could to fulfill his promises. Isaiah spoke prophetically to the second coming of Jesus. You heard that in today's reading in chapter 2 of Isaiah, concerning what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. There's some interesting words in that passage. It says, "The Lord's temple will be established on the last days. It will be exalted above the hills. Many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord.' He will teach in his ways. The law will go out from Zion. He will judge people between the nations. They will beat their swords into plowshares. The nation will not take up sword against nation, and they will not train for war anymore." What tense is that? Future. It's all going to happen in the future. Even Isaiah didn't see this happening, as this is trumpeting the second coming of Jesus. The Lord will. They will. That's hope, holding on to what you know is promised will come true. Isaiah 40 gives us the posture of how we wait. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry." How good are we at waiting? Today, you know, it's kind of live in a microwave society that we expect everything to just come quickly. Like, you text someone and there's this little bubble that shows up and you're like going, "Come on, answer me already," right? And then if it doesn't answer, you go, "What was that about? They didn't answer my text." Or you're watching a television show and it used to be you might have to wait a whole week to see the next episode, and you're left on a cliffhanger, or even it ends the season, you gotta wait through the summer for the next season to start. Now we can stream our movies, and we can watch an entire season in an afternoon, unless there's buffering going on. Don't you hate that? When the TV spins, and you're like, "Come on, keep it going." You know, it used to be that you ordered something from a catalog. Remember those days? The Sears catalog came, and as a kid, I would get in there, I'd circle all the things that I hoped I'd get for Christmas, and then you'd wait and wait and wait, and if you ordered through Sears, you had to wait for a long time. You had to mail your check in the mail, get it approved, and then finally have it come back, and you would get the present eventually a few weeks later. Well, now it's like even instantaneous. Some things you get delivered same day from Amazon. It's amazing. DoorDash, Uber Eats, you can get any kind of food anytime you want, and it'll be delivered right to your door. So in our world, we're less and less conditioned to wait well. Even spiritually, if we're praying for something on Monday, we kind of expect the answer by Tuesday, right? Maybe Wednesday, Thursday, this just isn't working. Right? We want instant results. In the Bible, hope means something bigger than just wishful thinking. The word hope in the New Testament is the Greek word elpis, which means expectation, trust, and confidence. When we don't see things get passed by immediately, it's easy to lose hope. And though our world brings things more instantaneously than ever before, God doesn't work on our time schedule, does he? We realize this Advent season, we will remember that God will fulfill his promises. But he'll do it in his perfect timing. As Christians, we have hope. Today's gospel, Jesus is talking about when he comes again. We're not going to know the day, but Jesus, and what Paul reminds us as he wrote to Romans, is to live in the light. Be ready, because although we don't know when this will happen, it will happen. On Christmas morning, as we celebrate again the birth of Jesus, hope is realized and the prophecy is complete and everything is changed through the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus along with the entire rescue and redemption of humanity. That was his mission, So to truly unbox what he wants to give you, it helps to double down on this idea of hope for three reasons. The first reason that we have hope is that you can trust every promise of God. In God's perfect timing, that his son was born into the world exactly when God planned it, Christmas is the ultimate reminder that God keeps his promise. It can be kept. If he can keep a prophecy from 100 years later, and some would argue that it was even from the very beginning in Genesis that the promise started, it means that we can trust God in this. So even when things look bleak, like, will that ever happen? We can trust that God's promises will come to fruition. Instantly, they may not happen when you want it, but if God said it, it will happen, period. Which also means the second reason we can have hope is that we can trust that God is in control today. But all but 34 time-stamped years of Jesus' earthly life, Jesus is depicted as seated on the throne. Someone seated on a throne, we talked about a king last Sunday, means that they're powerful and in control, that they're sovereign over all. If this king is your King of Kings, you can trust his control, power, and sovereignty. So often we lose hope in this world because we like to think that we are in control, but we're not in control. The very breath you are breathing right now is a gift. Take one of those gifts right now. It's a gift from God. The fact that you're hearing my words is a miracle, and only possible because God allows me to speak and you to hear. It's all a gift from above. Jesus is depicted as getting off his throne for 34 years to rescue us. But after the rescue mission was completed, he rightly took his seat again on the throne. He's in full control. So even if things don't look like you want them to or the way you would have them, trust in God. And remember, you don't need things to work out the way you want them to. God says, or Paul writes in the book of Romans, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. The imagery of the King of Kings, who is control, may be the image of God that we don't think about as often as we should. But in fact, I would contend that this primary imagery of God that the New Testament authors wanted to remind us of is exactly that. Why would I say that? Well, Psalm 110 is the most quoted Bible verse of the Old Testament in the New Testament. What does it say? It says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." The New Testament authors repeatedly refer to this. God is seated at the right hand of God, on the throne. Why do they come back to this so often? To remind us that God is in control. He'll make things right. We can only see what our natural eyes can see, but right now, the imagery we have of God is that he is seated on the throne, and we can have hope today because of that. And finally, you can trust in a secure future with God. Jesus came to bring sinners back to him. That throne room imagery of our king reminds us, as I said, that our enemies are underneath the feet of Jesus. Whatever is underneath his feet is not a threat to him. Why? Well, this entire Christmas mission, rescue mission, started with a prophecy of a baby coming to a virgin named Mary, who was completed when Jesus lived his perfect life, was crucified, died, and was buried. Third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. That's when the footstool goes up. The enemy is underneath his feet. Sin, death, and the devil have all been dealt a blow. And his work is past tense, already done, completed. With all that hard work already done and coupled with the fact that we can trust every promise of God, now with the footstool up, we can remember one of those promises that Jesus gave to us. He offers forgiveness of our sins and hope of eternal life and over death and his resurrection. And John encapsulates that so beautifully in that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. This message is for any and for all. You have a secured future with God, fully in control. You can trust in him today. That means you can live differently than anyone else. And it's not wishful thinking. It's hope, beyond a shadow of a doubt type of hope. Let me close with this. Do you know a word that we never have a record of Jesus sharing out loud? It's the word hope. From the red letters of Jesus, we never once hear or see this word come out of his mouth. It doesn't mean that he never said it, certainly, but of all the things to record, it was never written down by those who record his words. And why is this? Well, I think the reason is because Jesus is hope embodied. When you have hope standing in front of you, when hope is realized, you don't have to talk about hope. It's not something you need anymore. You don't need to talk about hope when hope is standing right in front of you. He is hope. He's fully realized. And you can trust everything he said. You can remember that God is in control today. You can live confidently knowing that your future is in his hands, and you will see hope embodied in the person of Jesus so you can be secure. So for now, we put our hope in Jesus. We don't know that, we know one day he will come again, but you will know when you no longer need hope because he's here. But because of your faith in Jesus, that's something we can hold on to every single day of our lives. And that's hope unboxed. Let's pray together. Well, Jesus, we thank you that your presence, your birth, your death and resurrection all just remind us that our lives are secure because we hope in something that is sure. It's not just wishful thinking. It is a secure and sure promise. And as we don't know exactly what our lives will hold or what our future is, ever do, we're not in control of that. But in the meantime, we can trust. We can hold on to hope. We can believe in all that you give to us. So help us as we wait in hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.